How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Susie Ruffle. I mean me, Tom Allen.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
What have you been up to this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I have just, I'm just still recovering from my theatre run. And I had a nice few days off. I've been watching a lot of House of Cards.
Ooh.
Oh, and I am obsessed with that Claire Underpants in that, the wife of...
Yeah.
She wears lovely clothes and she's also a hard-ass bitch.
I love an American... sort of political or courtroom drama.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of courtroom drama.
They take things very seriously in America.
Love it.
Talk about amendments all the time.
All the time.
Amendments to the Constitution come up in every kind of story in America.
In Friends, Will and Grace.
All the time. That's all they talk about.
Amendments to the Constitution.
We don't even know what it is. We don't go like, oh, you know what it says in the second paragraph of the Magna Carta?
No, you're right. We don't.
We don't.
But we ought to.
But we should.
We really
should.
Ought to.
So I've been doing that. That was quite a nice restful thing to do. Mm-hmm. Also went for a walk with my mum and dad near where we live. And
any rows or was it?
Well, sorry.
Any rows?
No arguments, except I was just constantly shouting at all the disgusting fascias on the front of people's houses around. The thing is with suburbia, I've found
the burbs.
Is that there's a lot of distasteful use of PVC, UPVC double glazing.
Oh, yeah.
I do not like it one bit. What people do is they'll just like blast the front of their house. Doesn't matter what period it was built in. Doesn't matter if it was like arts and crafts, early 20th century. Blast it with UPVC double glazing. Maybe they put leaded lights in or Georgian squares for no reason. No reason at all. Even if it's on a modern framed window. Oh, a few Georgian squares. Oh, what? Because now it looks like it's from the 1700s. And then they'll put block paving out the front. They'll get rid of the garden. Maybe a few pots with some moss in them, and that's it. And I just find it so depressing, Susie.
Well, clearly, Tom.
Aesthetically, I've got some high standards.
You do. And we've all said that.
I want to be known, if nothing else, for my high standards.
Well, I really like what you're wearing today. That's quite...
Oh, thanks. I feel like I've gone for a sort of...
You look like you're sort of a low, but still quite important captain in the Merchant Navy.
Oh, Susie, thank you so much. That's exactly the look I'm
going. Is that the look you're going for? Like, not the top captain?
No, I feel like you need to be quite old to be a sea captain.
And you? It's the youthfulness.
The youthfulness, that's what...
It's the youthful
maybe
face.
Maybe a midshipman.
A midshipman.
Wouldn't that be fun? I'd quite like to be in the Merchant Navy, not just for the sex, but for the... just I think it'd be quite fun.
Same here, but a lot of mine would be for the sex. I imagine there's quite a few lesbos in the Merchant Navy.
I imagine... actually. Yeah.
Oh, love a woman in a suit.
Oh, yeah.
Big
that's
fan of a
nice.
Girl in a
oh,
suit.
I always think girls look great in suits.
Well, I spoke on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about wearing a bow tie.
Yes,
it's
you
a revelation.
Did. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. I liked that. I like that look a lot. And I always like that Diane Keaton.
Oh, yes.
You know, that sort of YSL dinner jacket. Oh, I thought she looked great when she did. I just think she's so cool.
Yeah, I remember her going to the Oscars one year in like a suit with a tie and then like
yes,
a crazy
hat. That's the one
I think. Is that what you're thinking of?
I think that's the right one. Or maybe she does it all the time.
Maybe she does because she dresses like that in the Woody Allen film, Annie
very
Hall.
Annie Hall. Very Annie Hall.
I'd love to dress
style,
like
Diane Keaton. I sort of feel like she's not celebrated in the way that she could be.
I feel the same about Annette Bening.
Oh, good call. Mm. Good call. What is Annette Bening doing these days, do we know?
A lot of gardening.
A lot of gardening.
Cooking for her family. Don't know, she's in films, isn't she? She was in The Kids Are All Right, which is one of those films that lesbians love to be angry about.
Are they angry about? Oh, yes, because we talked about this, I remember, because you said...
Because Julianne Moore, if you don't know the story, I'm about to ruin it for you. So Julianne Moore... with Annette Bening for years. They have children together. They
living
have very
in San
Harry
Francisco.
Yeah, they have a happy relationship.
A very happy relationship. She works as a gardener. Julianne Moore works as a gardener, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And what's Annette Bening? She's like a social worker or something.
No, she's a doctor,
like,
I think.
Doctor.
Something
okay,
like that.
Something very serious.
Something very
and they
serious.
Sit around the table and they all have steak and then they start singing Joni Mitchell. Do you remember that scene?
That happens. Yeah, that's quite an odd scene, isn't it?
It's quite an odd scene.
That was clearly a moment where the director was like, I used to do art house. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just showing you that I am creative. I don't just do Hollywood blockbusters.
I feel like that was a bit when they went, oh, I don't know, what else do gay people like? Joni Mitchell?
Joni Mitchell. She sounds miserable. She's crying a lot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lesbians will love that. But, so...
And they've got a child called Laser.
And a child called Joni.
Oh, that's right. And then isn't there a scene where she's like, it's great that you masturbate, honey, or something. There's something really weird where they talk to one of the children about masturbation.
Yes. Yeah, that I wouldn't like to talk to anyone about.
I would not like to talk to anybody.
To Annette Bening about masturbation.
I don't think I would, no.
No. Do you mean what? Listen, if you meet her and it comes up, just go
then
with it.
Then I'll go with it. You know, I'm not going to halt a conversation with Annette Bening just because I feel a bit prudish, a bit priggish.
A bit British.
A bit British, you might say. Yes, Annette Bening, sorry.
So then the children decide they want to find their biological father, who is Mark Ruffalo.
That's
huge
right.
Fan.
Yeah.
Not just because we have similar surnames. Huge fan.
Oh, yeah, you do. I never thought of that.
Well, think of it more often. And then Julianne Moore has a brief affair with him. And a lot of lesbians got very angry about it because they were like, oh, you know, it's just that classic thing, isn't it? Of like, oh, lesbians eventually go back to a man, blah, blah, blah. But it's not. I didn't think that at all because I thought I'm very into sort of sexuality being fluid and people being... I think it's...
I, on the other hand, by the way, I'm not.
No, I know.
Get in your box and stay there.
Well, yeah. But that's a very gay man thing to do, isn't it?
I tell you why gay men don't like that film. Oh, when you get when they get the hair stuck in the plug hole. Oh, yeah. Change your cleaning lady. All manner
of complaints.
Oh my God,
Tom, you're not
going
to believe what I've managed to do without even trying to.
What?
I've managed to find the most incredible segue into our topic this week.
Which is?
Kids.
Oh,
I didn't even realise I was doing that.
It happens organically.
Oh my God, we're getting so good at this podcast. Well, no, we're going to talk about family, children,
and
life, and Annette Bening. That's what the text message did this week. Family, life, children, Annette Bening.
And the text message, don't reveal to the listener the extent of planning that goes into this.
There is so much planning.
So much texting.
We have a mood board. Tom, when you laugh.
Your idea of it. Do you have a mood board on this?
I have a mood board on everything.
I would love to have a mood board and a dream board as well, like where you kind of like put things that you want to...
I've done that.
Have you? Does it work?
Do you know what? I think it's really good. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud. One of my friends, also a comedian, who I'll not name. I mean, I could. It wouldn't matter, but anyway.
Who was it?
Oh, just a friend.
Oh.
And no, just another comic. But they said to me, oh yeah, it's really good for you to like... I went and got some big paper from the craft shop.
Oh.
And wrote down...
had a morning off.
Got some coloured pens.
Oh, goodness.
And sort of wrote down some... And drew little pictures, little stick men of things that I'd like to do and things that I'd like to enjoy and things I'd... Yeah. I don't know. It's quite good. But they do a lot of that in yoga, you see. Very
do
into
they?
The yogas, aren't they? Not mood boards.
Oh.
But when you come to your mat...
Yes.
That's what you call it, coming to your mat. You don't sit on your mat, you come to your mat.
Do you?
And take your mind out of the gutter. And they sort of think, oh, you know, what are you going to have in your mind for the class? What's your thing you're going to carry with you throughout the class today?
Oh.
And it's sort of quite nice to have like
an
image in your mind or sort of... One that I often go for is patience, because that's something I think I really struggle
with. Oh, I think
with
I
patience.
Do, actually, yeah.
So I always think, enjoy the journey, enjoy the ride, have patience with everything, patience with success, patience with failure, enjoy moments, allow them to... I mean, I don't know how we've got onto this. I know why we've got onto it.
Don't worry about a segue.
Tell you why we've got onto it, because I've started reading a book, Tom.
Yeah. Ooh.
Stop the press.
Yeah.
Hold the phones.
What is it?
The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari.
Ooh.
Have you heard of it?
No, it sounds like a Janet and Alan Allberg.
Me and 95% of the listeners don't know what you're talking about. But it
Do
sounds
not?
Great.
No, remember, like, what was it called? There was the joke book they had called the Ha Ha Bonk book.
Ha Ha Bonk?
I know, it sounds rude, but it wasn't.
It sounds
and
very
then it was
rude.
All about like... Mr. Blah Blah, the teacher, Mrs. Blah Blah, the something.
I mean, Tom, you couldn't
really
be like making less
there.
Sense. Are you drunk still?
Yes. No,
absolutely
I'm not actually. Very
smashed.
Yes. And so you've been reading this book, The Monk Who Sold
His
Ferrari.
And it's, I mean...
What was a monk doing with a Ferrari in the first place anyway?
Well, here's the thing. He wasn't a monk. He started off as a very, very high up successful American lawyer. Could do sort of the courtroom drama thing.
Oh, I bet he was always talking about amendments to the Constitution.
Always, the Second Amendment. Oh my God.
The Second Amendment.
Couldn't stop. Pleading the Fifth with the Second Amendment. He was doing all of that. One day had a heart attack on the courtroom floor.
Oh, how dramatic.
Very similar to... My friends are listening that will remember Ally McBeal when Billy died. Very sad moment.
I didn't actually watch Ally McBeal.
Oh my God, it was so good. Portia de Rossi kissed Lucy Liu once. Oh my God.
Oh, I remember Dame Edna was in it at one point and they had
you
in six toilets.
She was. Yeah, she was. Possums?
I remember a bit of that.
Anyway, it's sort of a book about a guy that has a heart attack and then gives up sort of all of his earthly possessions. He's really wealthy. He's got a beautiful house, beautiful cars, everything. Just to find peace. And he goes to the Himalayas. And
of course he goes to the Himalayas.
Goes with these monks for a couple of years.
Oh, a couple of years.
And then sort of comes back to his friends that are still in the therm to sort of tell what he's learnt.
And what do they, I bet they don't like it though. Am
Tom,
I right?
I'm going to let you know something. Literally in the book, he's just walked through the door. Back into the novel. So I don't know what's going to happen next.
What's going to happen next? Is it a novel or is it some sort of non-fiction pamphlet?
It's like a non-fiction... on my Kindle, it comes up as self-help.
Oh.
But I'm not sure that it is. But it,
what a modern thing to say.
But I'm finding it quite helpful.
Yeah? It's helping yourself?
It's good to sometimes sort of take a step back and go... You know, sometimes, certainly in our career, and I'm sure in many careers, where you still feel like you're constantly striving for the next thing or you want to... You know, if we were in courtroom drama, we'd be trying to make partner.
We would be what?
Trying to make partner.
Everybody wants to be a partner, don't they?
Everybody wants to be a partner.
Partner at a law firm.
Because of the Sixth Amendment.
Because of the 12th Amendment.
And sometimes it's nice just to stop. And that's what this book is making me do. Sort of making me go, oh yeah, things are going, I've got a really nice life and I really enjoy my job. Yeah. I'm really lucky, God.
Yeah.
I don't focus on that very often.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not very good at being very monastic in my thinking, I think, a lot of the time. Although when I have been and I've sort of allowed, like, time for myself, time to be on my own, I always feel very much calmer, like, much happier. Having said that, this episode is about family.
Yes! I'm so sorry. I was really
No, I'm the
here,
last
guys.
One to bring
so
us back
sorry.
On track.
Oh, my God, what has happened? You're bringing us back on track.
Yeah, I know. We've all changed around, haven't we, today?
I'm the one
when
that
you
smashed.
Said about Children, though, I was thinking of the 90s dance anthem, Children.
Yeah,
which
I
you
don't
didn't
know this
recognize.
Song. No, but do you remember in the 90s, the oldest I was going to be was sort of 14. I don't
well,
remember.
I was, you know, 18, but I think it was in
Are
sort
you
of
four
like,
years older than me?
No, 2 years.
Yeah, that's
you.
What I was going to say.
I'm sure I was 17 in the millennium.
Right.
But I feel like this came out around 97. That isn't, I mean, that is a brilliant version. Yeah, yeah. It was like number one. It was like when they used to have number ones for like 8 weeks.
I don't
remember
know.
That?
I don't. I literally just echoed what you did. Yeah.
What a good ear.
Yeah, I do, you're right.
It was a child looking out of a car window and you could see all the things like flashing past the car window, like lots of pylons.
Did you used to do that when you were looking out of a car window when you were a child, pretend that you're in a music video?
Yes, all the time. I still do it now on trains.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of, what are you listening to? So the Pet Shop Boys or something?
Oh, the Pet Shop Boys is a really good one to do it too.
I love you. You pay my rent. Looking out into the distance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do a bit of that. Or Why Do We Make It So Hard on Ourselves? That one?
The one with Dusty?
Oh, there are a lot of them with Dusty.
Love Dusty.
And there's another woman who comes in
trash,
and sings on a few of them.
She had a bit of a tragic life. She wasn't tragic as a person, but she seemed to have quite a sad life.
Did she have a sad life? Did she... I can't remember what...
She was gay, wasn't she?
I don't know if you. People, I don't know if she was or not.
It was rumored. It was rumored that she was gay.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I did really like her.
Oh, I love her.
And I know she had lots of gay fans. So
loads of gay fans.
I mean, the signs.
The signs were there. The signs are there.
I feel like the Pet Shop Boys maybe brought her out of obscurity or something. I feel like they
did
something positive
did,
for
yeah.
her.
Yeah, because she had. She was sort of known for the. I don't know what
classics.
Yeah, exactly. And the bob, the big eye makeup. And then when she came back into the very 60s, and then when she came back into the Pet Shop Boys ones, she had that sort of mullet, didn't she? Do you remember? Like a blonde mullet.
Yes, she did.
Pink...
She looked a bit like David Bowie in Labyrinth.
Yes, she did look just like David Bowie in Labyrinth.
You see, it all ties up.
And we're still really on track with talking about family and children.
Well, I started
Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield.
Didn't have
Dusty
any children, did she?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like she might have a child.
Do you have any children? Yes, probably.
Do I have a child? Did you just ask? No, I think I would have brought that up before.
Yeah. I thought as much, but...
But no, I don't have a child.
Could you imagine if this was the way that you chose to tell me?
Yeah. Did I never mention I've got a child? I've got a family. No, I have not got a child. I've got a godchild now.
Yes.
Just acquired one. Yes,
he's very sweet.
Yes, I haven't actually met him yet.
Oh.
He's been,
are you godchild to...
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were talking about your other friend's child.
Which one?
The one that's on your phone.
No, that's not my godchild.
Who's your godchild?
Stuart Goldsmith's son.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. I didn't know you were going to be his godfather.
Oh yes, I'm very important, Susie.
Oh, I know.
But I haven't met him because I never know what the thing is to do with...
A new baby.
With a new baby.
Oh, you just go and give them some love.
But also, I don't like to go around too soon because I know the parents are probably like...
Dealing with it.
And I don't want to be... I would hate to be asked to leave.
Oh yeah,
like, oh, we need to put him down to sleep now, so do you mind leaving? Oh, I'd be so crushed. I'd never be able to speak to them again.
And then...
So I'm just timing it until the child is maybe about 12 or 13.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, and then I'll appear. They'll hear about me, but he won't meet me. That's fair. That's a normal way to behave.
It's very, very normal.
And I bought him a Baby Grow.
Oh yeah,
what
did you have on it?
And it has... And it's supposed to be like, it would be like S is for Susie, but his one says L is for legendary.
Yeah, very
legendary.
Good.
As in Paris is burning. So I thought that was a good gift.
Yes, very
good. And so, yeah, so I can't wait to meet him. But I'm keeping a bit of space. I've got other friends who've got babies at the moment. I'm giving them all space and I'm waiting until I'm begged to go round.
Yes.
Because I do like babies when they're quite new. Mm-hmm. They just sleep all the time, don't they?
Yes. My cousin had a baby. Oh. 2 weeks ago.
Oh, another one.
A different cousin. It was her first. My cousin Sophie had her little girl Lottie.
Oh, that's lovely.
And she was born, I think, 4.5 weeks early.
Oh.
She was only 5 pounds. She's tiny. Oh. Perfect. Completely perfect. Well, she stayed in hospital for about a week extra, but she's perfect and beautiful and lovely, and she looks like a little doll.
Oh.
And, oh, I just fell in. I went to the hospital immediately.
Did you?
For a cuddle. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just to go for some...
Just have an immediate
facelift.
Just... I went
straight to the hospital.
And got a boob job. And then on the way out, popped in on my cousin and her baby.
That is so kind of you.
I am very kind.
I find with babies when they're born, though, I don't know what to do with their head. You know, I always forget to support the head. And then they go, support the head!
Yeah.
Go, oh, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have given me your baby doll. Now its head's fallen off.
Oh, yeah. You have to be careful with that. They don't really have any use of their neck.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that.
I was with a baby last night, actually.
Oh.
One of my best friends.
Oh.
She has a son called Jude. Very cute. But Jude, he's just getting to the point where he can hold up his head. He's still a bit all over the shop. He's a bit like a drunk person, isn't it?
Yes.
A bit like a drunk person.
They're
just
like drunk people, actually, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah. When they're like one, two, and they're sort of wandering around, grabbing things, throwing
puking
things,
up,
puking up, shitting themselves.
Yeah.
It's like you.
Too much.
Do you think you'll have children?
No. I was thinking about this on the way here. Well... I've always sort of thought to myself, well, it's not really something I can do. But now it seems like people do it. But I don't really understand the process.
We could have one.
What?
We could have one together, couldn't we?
Well, we could.
I'm not suggesting we shag.
No. Okay, thank God.
Suggesting we get some Petri dishes.
Oh, my God.
Even worse.
Even worse. Well, I know. I suppose I just go, I don't.
It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment, isn't it? Like, you've just got a tattoo.
I've just got a tattoo. It's
like, I can't even do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bigger commitment than a tattoo.
Is it?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
You've got to look at that tattoo for the rest of your life. I mean, the children will go to university, potentially.
Thanks, Tom. Do you know, it's in a place that I can hide. All of
That's
my tattoos
true.
Are.
That is true.
They're
yeah,
upper
true.
Arm or
upper arm
torso.
But would you like to have children?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would. Yeah, I would like to adopt.
Oh, would you? Oh,
no, have I told you this story before about my whole adoption thing?
No.
Well,
My whole adoption thing.
So, previous to standing up
for
a living, I worked in a PR firm.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't do PR, but I did. I was like a PA. And
PA to a PR.
PA to a PR.
A papper,
which is very awkward because you know how dyslexic I am. I was like,
no.
And one of my jobs was to source charities to give free PR training to.
Oh, pro bono.
Yeah, I think it was some sort of tax break. Anyway,
I love saying pro bono. I think
again,
it sounds really weird.
Very American.
It sounds very American.
Fifth Amendment pro bono.
It's pro bono.
So, 1 year, the charity that we were helping was Adoption UK.
Oh.
And I read some case studies when I had to get, like, one of my jobs would be like getting the packs ready for the candidates.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up reading this story and it was written by a girl who was maybe 11 and she had a gay dad. So I think immediately sort of my eye was drawn to that. You know, sometimes when you see other gay people like in the street or something, you want to like run around them and be like, me too.
Yeah. When I see like couples holding hands.
Yeah. I want to be like, hey guys.
I stare at them. I must look like the
It's like when dogs
point and laugh.
Like when dogs see each other in the street.
Oh, yes.
I feel like it's really similar to that. Like that. Hey, we're the same. Hey. Like that. So anyway, I was drawn to this thing because they were gay dads. And then it was a letter that was written by a 11 or 12 year old girl. And it was so simple and it clutched onto my heart. And I read this story maybe 10 years ago, but it was just a little girl saying, oh, before I met my dads, I'd lived in all sorts of places. Everyone was always very nice to me. I had really nice experiences. I had really nice foster families. But then when I met my dad, but I could never go to dancing or gymnastics or this or that or whatever because
why?
Because she would often move around or that she didn't. Anyway, oh. I don't know what, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of it. But then she said, as soon as I met my dads, I moved into their home and I've got my own bedroom that's just for me. And I go to dancing, I go to gymnastics. And then the bit at the end, which made me cry, said, my dad's explained to me that the whole time they were looking for me and I was looking for them, but we were all looking in the wrong places.
Oh.
And then as soon as I read that, that was years ago, I just sort of went, oh my God, if I ever have a family, I think I'll adopt.
Oh, that is a lovely thing, isn't it?
Well, because I think
and she's here today.
She's not, guys.
She's not.
But I think that's the thing. I think that there's a lot of children in the world that would love
that is
a
true,
couple of mums.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would. Yeah,
I've brought it down a bit, haven't I? Hmm? Did I just bring it down
a little bit? But no, don't. No. It's a lovely story. And that's true. I think that's true. I mean, maybe another episode we can discuss adoption. And then you can tell me about how it all works. Because again, I just don't know how it works.
I don't really know how it works.
I'm quite busy
either.
With my emails. But if I find some time, yeah, sure, I'll adopt one.
Sure. But I think that's a very... I think to a degree, not necessarily adoption, but I think it's kind of a gay thing of creating our own families.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes, you were saying about this, creating our own families.
Because
you do sort of...
I think that certainly in years gone by when maybe families weren't as supportive as hopefully they are now. I know you and I are both very lucky with our families. We're both, you know. But there would be a time when people, if people didn't have that sort of connection with their family anymore, they would create their own sort of little nuclear family, their own... And I think that's something...
Pre-nuclear age, often.
Often.
Yeah, no, people... And I think people have traditionally done that quite a lot in... I think any kind of oppression often brings out that in human nature, that people find a way of getting through it together.
And I think that that's something that... I've got a very, very supportive family, but I would say that I've got friends that have become family. But I guess that's something that comes with with not having my own family yet.
Yes, yeah, I think so. And I think, I guess that... we live in an age, when you kind of can reach out to new people. And as well, we're quite anonymous in lots of ways with technology and stuff. I think it's made us all quite anonymous. So I think we kind of crave that connection with people.
Yeah, I think so. It's very Tales of the City, isn't it?
Very Tales of the City, Susie.
Book, which we've mentioned before.
Numerous times. If you haven't read it, you really must.
But that's about a family that find themselves and create themselves together, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, in that sort of late 70s way. But listen, we've got to round it up now.
We do. So if you want to be in mine and Tom's family.
Oh, yeah.
Get in
touch.
Course.
You can be one of our like-minded family. Doesn't make sense.
Framily.
Framily. Our Frammy. And so...
Tom.
Yes, Susie, what? What?
Are you doing another gig at the Soho Theatre next week?
Oh, thank you so much for bringing it up.
See,
yes.
I'm family.
That's what family
friends
is
are for.
Is that?
We are family.
I hope we don't have to pay any PRS.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm doing the 2nd of March. If you're around, please do come and join me. I'm doing my show. They added an extra date at the
Soho
Theatre.
How exciting is that?
Well, thank you, Susie. So if you're around, do come. It'll be lovely to see you there on the 2nd of March. You can get tickets on Soho Theatre website, or you can link to it from my website, tomindeed.com.
And of course, remember that Tom and I are going on tour in the autumn. The tickets are now on sale. We're visiting Brighton, Portsmouth,
Bristol. The places.
Manchester. Somewhere in Wales, Pontardawe, Manchester, all over the shop, more and more, and
Nottingham,
Bridport,
Birmingham.
Listen, we're going all over the shop, but please buy tickets, come and join us, and have some fun with us. We'll both be doing our new shows that we would have recently done at the Edinburgh Festival. So you can find all the details on tomindeed.com or susieruffle.co.uk.
Yes.
It was going really well, wasn't it? I was really slicking
really
it up.
Oh,
God, it was like I was on auto cue. And thank you very much for listening, as ever.
Thank you for listening.
We're both on Twitter, at Tom Allen Comedy, at Susie Ruffle.
Yeah, don't hold back.
Get in touch.
All right.
Until next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.